This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Friday. We are happy that you are here. We're going to take some phone calls here. I forgot to tell people to call in over the break. So if you want to get in here, we got a couple people holding online. I want to fill the phones up before we start taking the calls. 314-241-9797. Your debate reaction, where you think this election is headed. Or you can comment on today's YouTube live chat poll, which is what scares you the most. Spiders? That's my answer. Heights? That's Brad's answer. Snakes? That's Ethan's answer. And other, which is Ryan's answer.
Mm-hmm. AKA clowns.
You could have said that.
I could have said clowns, but...
Are you afraid of them?
I don't love them. I can't say that I'm afraid of them. Here's the thing. It depends on the context. If I see one in my room at night, I'm going to be afraid. If I see one in a parade...
Can you find out... Can you get to the beginning of this on the TV? President Biden is speaking from the podium, and he's speaking at the White House briefing, which is... Have we ever seen this?
I thought the same thing when I looked up. This looks like something real.
I believe he's talking about the hurricane relief, and this probably comes after his statement that we were trashing a little bit in the earlier segment. 314-241-9797 if you want to call in and get on hold, but we're going to listen to the President of the United States speaking now from the podium at the White House press briefing.
After some discussion, the International Longshoremen Union came to an agreement to keep ports in the East Coast and the Gulf ports open. We averted what could have become a major crisis for the country. And a tentative agreement, which includes record wage increases for dock workers, and shows the importance of collective bargaining and represents, I think, critical progress toward a strong contract. I especially want to thank the carriers, the port operators, and the Longshoremen's Union for reaching this agreement at a time when the nation has experienced such terrible devastation from Hurricane Helene. It was truly a service to the American people for all these parties to come together to respond to our request to keep the ports open. I was determined to avert a crisis at this moment because it's a critical moment. If we didn't do this now, we'd have a real problem. I also want to thank my White House team for the work they worked around the clock to bring the parties together. But today, we got more incredible news. Although the strength of the American economy it's about the strength of the American economy. New jobs report, as you all know, you've been reporting, created 250,000 jobs in September. The expectation was for 150,000 jobs in September, which has far exceeded that number. The previous two months was revised up 75,000 jobs. And from the very beginning, we were told time and again that the policies we were pursuing, we'd put forward, weren't going to work, make things worse, including some of the other team are still saying they're going to make things worse. But we've proven them wrong. You know, we've told our America, we were told our American rescue plan was too big and it would crowd out private investment. We proved them wrong. We vaccinated a nation and got immediate economic relief to people in need. When I came to office determined to end trickle-down economics and grow the economy from the middle out and the bottom up, I know you're tired of hearing me say that over and over again, but that was the policy, that it remains the policy. Because when you do that, everyone does well. When the middle class grows, the nation's stronger. And the nation's stronger when there's a strong union movement as well. We were told it wouldn't work, but I was also determined to do what was ignored for much too long. Presidents have been authorized since the 30s to be able to spend the money given by Congress to spend the money on hiring American workers and using American product where they were available. And that's what we did. We were told that was going to be a big problem. But all the money I was authorized to spend by the Congress has gone to hiring American workers and using American products. We were told that was going to be a big problem, but it's working. We're also told that our historic law to invest in America and all Americans would crowd out private sector investment. Well, that was proven wrong, too. We've attracted nearly $1 trillion since we've come to office in private sector investment from domestic and foreign companies investing in America, Not the stuff of shipping jobs overseas for cheaper labor and bringing back a product to America. We're building it here and sending it overseas. And look at the results across the board. Unemployment is down to 4.1%. And every month, in fact, that Vice President Harris and I have been in office, we've created jobs every single month. The nation has now created 16 million jobs since I've come to office, more jobs created in a single presidential term than any time in American history. Our GDP shows our economy grew at 10% under my administration. Unemployment reached the lowest level in 50 years. We're also told inflation couldn't come down without massive job losses or sending the economy into economic recession. Once again, outside experts were wrong. Inflation has come down. Wages have gone up faster than prices. Interest rates are down. Record 19 million new business applications have been filed for. The stock market continues to reach new heights. We've got more work to do, though. Keep getting prices down, like more affordable housing, extending what I've done for seniors and lowering prescription drug costs by letting Medicare negotiate the prices, make sure that's available to everyone. And by the way, what we've done so far, just when we brought down the prices for seniors under Medicare, it saved the taxpayers billions of dollars. Billions of dollars. Saved the taxpayers billions of dollars. That's important to note because they don't have to pay the exorbitant and irrational prices that these companies are charging. The simple fact is we've gone from economy in crisis to literally having the strongest economy in the world. And but we've got more work to do. We've got more work to do to deal with the things I've just mentioned. And we're going to have to deal with unforeseen cost of what this hurricane is going to cost. It's going to cost a lot of money. And I'm going to probably have to ask the Congress before we leave for more money to deal with some of those problems. But that remains to be seen. I'll take a few questions before I turn it over. You pick up.
Okay. Yes, sir. Go ahead, Josh.
Thanks again for doing this, Mr. President. Two questions. The first, Florida Senator Marco Rubio described today's jobs report as having fake numbers. What do you make of that, and how worried are you that many Americans are hearing that the jobs numbers aren't real?
Look, I'm going to be very careful here. If you notice, anything the MAGA Republicans don't like, they call fake. Anything. The job numbers are what the job numbers are. They're real. They're sincere. What we are. And by the way, just look at how the EU talks about us, how they'd like to have an economy like ours. Let's talk about the rest of the world looks at us and what we're doing. So I don't want to get going.
And then secondly, could you clarify some of your comments yesterday with regard to strikes on Iranian oil facilities? What did you mean by them, given some of the reactions we're seeing in the market?
Well, look, the Israelis have not concluded what they're going to do in terms of a strike. That's under discussion. I think if I were in their shoes, I'd be thinking about other alternatives than striking oil fields.
Thank you, Karine. Thank you so much, Mr. President, for being here. This week, Senator Chris Murphy said it's certainly a possibility that the Israeli government is not going to sign any diplomatic agreement prior to the election, which is what you have been calling for so long, potentially to try to influence the result. Do you agree? Do you have any worries that Netanyahu may be trying to influence the election and that's why he has not agreed to a diplomatic solution?
No administration has helped Israel more than I have. None. And I think Bibi should remember that. And whether he's trying to influence the election or not, I don't know, but I'm not counting on that.
You've said many times recently that you want to speak to him, that you plan to.
No, I didn't say plan to. I didn't say I want to.
But you don't want to?
No, I didn't say that. You're making it sound like I'm seeking and then speaking. I'm assuming when they make the judgment of how they're going to respond, we will then have a discussion.
Thank you,
Mr. President, for being here. What are you advising the Israelis to do in terms of their retaliation to Iran? And at this point, you still haven't spoken to Netanyahu. Is it fair to say that you have little personal influence over what he decides to do?
No. Look, our teams are in contact 12 hours a day. They're constantly in contact. I've already had my presidential daily brief. We've already had interface between our military, the diplomats. It's in constant contact. They are trying to figure out, and it's the high holidays as well. They're not going to make a decision immediately. And so we're going to wait to see when they want to talk.
But over the past few months, they've consistently defied your administration's own advice. So do you believe that the Israelis are going to listen to the advice you're giving them?
What I know is the plan that I put together received the support of the UN Security Council, the vast majority of our allies around the world, as a way to bring this to an end. Look, the Israelis have every right to respond to the vicious attacks on them, not just from the Iranians, but from everyone from Hezbollah to Houthis. Anyway, but the fact is that they have to be very much more careful about dealing with civilian casualties.
So how should they respond? You expressed concerns about attacks on Iranian oil facilities. How should they respond?
That's between me and them.
All right, we got to move on. Go ahead, Tam.
The election is a month away. One, I'd like to know how you're feeling about how this election is going. And then also, do you have confidence that it will be a free and fair election and that it will be peaceful?
Two separate questions.
Very much.
I'm confident it'll be free and fair. I don't know whether it'll be peaceful. The things that Trump has said and the things that he said last time out when he didn't like the outcome of the election were very dangerous. If you notice, I noticed that the vice presidential Republican candidate did not say he'd accept the outcome of the election. They haven't even accepted the outcome of the last election. So I'm concerned about what they're going to do.
Are you making any preparations, getting security briefings related to domestic security?
I always get those briefings.
All right, we got to move on. Go ahead, Keila, and then we have to do a couple more.
Hi, Mr. President. When are you considering imposing sanctions on Iran, and would you include oil in those sanctions?
That's under consideration right now, the whole thing. I'm not going to discuss that a lot.
And just on your comments yesterday on the port strike, you said, by the grace of God, it's going to hold. Is there any reason you think that this
temporary suspension? Well, there's more to do. A month from now, there's more to do in terms of everything from the whole notion of mechanization of the ports and the like. There's more to resolve.
Good, Daniel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Last night you said that there's still a lot to do to avoid an all-out war in the Middle East. I mean, firstly, aren't we pretty close to that definition already? And secondly, what can you really do to stop that happening?
There's a lot we are doing. The main thing we can do is try to rally the rest of the world and our allies into participating like the French are in Lebanon and other places to tamp this down. But when you have proxies as irrational as Hezbollah and the Houthis, and it's a hard thing to determine.
Got to
lose. I got to go.
Okay, I know.
I said I'd take a couple questions.
All right, you're the last.
I think she's increasing her credibility.
Take some more.
Toulouse, you're going to be the last one.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for spending some time here with us. There have obviously been a number of crises that the country has been facing over the past several days with the hurricane, with the port strike, with the situation in the Middle East. Can you talk about how your vice president, who is running for the presidency, has worked on these crises and what role she has played over the past several days?
Well, I'm in constant contact with her. She's aware we're singing from the same song sheet.
She helped pass all the laws of being employed now. She was a major player in everything we've done, including passage of legislation which we were told we could never pass. And so she's been, and her staff is interlocked with mine in terms of all the things we're doing.
Mr. President,
Pope Francis is going for a day of prayer and fasting.
Prayer and fasting this Monday, October 7th. Your reaction, sir?
I will pray and fast.
That's acceptable to you in terms of Israel's response. How long are you okay with Israel bombing Lebanon? What is acceptable to you?
Mr. President,
that's it. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mr. President.
Andy's walking away from the podium right now, and Karine Jean-Pierre seems to be delightfully amused at the fact that the press has the opportunity to speak directly to the president of the United States and wants to ask a bunch of questions. That was really something. I don't think he answered a single question. He seems to me like he studied Crash Course, all the boldface words that are involved in the test, so he knows what they are, but he can't. It better be a fill-in-the-blank test and not an essay, because if it's an essay one, he's in big trouble.
And he can get away with it because he walks into the room and everybody, before they even ask him, go, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, he works for you, and your job is to advocate for us when you sit in there in that press room. I'm not opposed to respect for the office of the presidency, but I would like the office of the presidency to respect us once again and to respect the media that is there to advocate for truth and not fawning and lapdog type coverage that we have seen so far. So we didn't know that was going to happen. Press briefing generally at about this time. And I looked up at the screen and there was President Biden speaking from the podium. I actually thought for a second, is he making some big announcement?
Yeah. Is this recorded?
Yeah. Why was he there? Why today? Victory lap for the longshoreman temporary deal that's going to go through, not the end of his presidency? If the temporary deal becomes permanent, and I don't know, I didn't catch that it had become permanent at the beginning of that. If it did, I guess he's maybe taking credit for that, but... Dirk's reminding us about the jobs numbers, too. Maybe they felt good about that. I love the next month quiet revisions of the jobs numbers that come through.
Or the next year.
I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. Well, we got some people on the line right now. 314-241-9797. We're going to postpone next question. We'll get to it. We'll do a quick segment in the next after this break, and we'll get to some of your phone calls. We'll push through as many as we can. You can answer today's YouTube live chat poll, which is what scares you the most, spiders, heights, snakes, or something else. Or you can react to the president. You can react to the vice presidential debate or the campaign. We've got 32 days until the election. Tell us what you think. 314-241-9797. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us. We got a little bit of a bump in the road there with the normal press briefing that would be about this time of day. And we look up and there's Joe Biden at the podium. Kind of caught us off guard. We wanted to listen to that. I'm glad we did. I don't feel as though that he really... There's nothing we got. There was no news that we got from him, correct?
No. There was one clip that I don't know if you guys caught this that I went, uh-oh, that might be a problem. They might use that somewhere, where he's like, look, my team and Kamala's team, they're the same team.
Well, politically, that's the ramification. Yeah. My point is that President Biden showed up to speak at a press briefing randomly on a Friday without any sort of, here's why I'm here, and it's like news or obvious or an announcement of some sort. That didn't happen. Maybe That if there is no major news event that comes out of it, then you can only surmise that there is a political calculation. And every time Joe Biden comes out and reaffirms, just like we saw with Dana Carvey and Maya Rudolph as they depicted Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. I mean, when SNL is parodying the fact that Joe Biden is going to come out and talk about how, oh, Kamala Harris and I are exactly the same. Everything that we've done together. We're in lockstep, inseparable. And the Kamala Harris character on SNL is like, oh, Joe, no, stop that. Everything. No. Thank you for being here. Goodbye. That's what Joe Biden did today. And I, you know, if you want to say like we're in the exact same playbook, we're on the same page, we talk all the time. He kept going and giving you all the metaphors to say Kamala Harris is exactly more of the Biden-Harris administration. Vote for her if you want more of this.
We're singing from the same songbook.
He said that,
didn't
he?
Was the quote, yeah.
He said, are you? 314-241-9797. I'm going to try to get through these phone calls here quickly so that we can move on with the show because we didn't know that was going to happen. But I did want to get your thoughts on the debate that took place earlier this week or the news of the week. But also we have a YouTube live chat poll. If you so choose, you can tell us what scares you the most. Spiders, heights, snakes, or possibly something else. Terry, you've been holding the longest. Thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think?
Yeah, I wanted to speak about my college roommate lives outside of Asheville, and what he told me has been going on is appalling. He said that when they go to get help and they talk to the authorities and FEMA, that they're asked questions that kind of the authorities are trying to figure out what people's political leanings are. And then based on that, you kind of get help or you get kind of sent off to the side and ignored. It's just utterly appalling to hear that.
Yeah, that is shocking. I don't know why that would even be part of the screening process of anything.
Do you know what kind of questions those would be?
No, he didn't get into specifics. But then I also heard today that Marjorie Taylor Greene discovered that it's the government that's controlling the weather and that they were the one that put this storm there.
Yeah.
So, you know, she would know best.
Would she? I don't know. Terry, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. Cloud seeding?
Is that what? I missed this. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, you gotta swim in those circles.
Ah, I guess I'm in the wrong circles.
It's all a matter of perspective.
I'll start following Marjorie Taylor Greene on Twitter, just so I can be in the know.
Got it. Let's go to Gino. Gino, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think?
Hey, Annie. How you doing? Hey, Wiggins. How you doing?
Hey.
Okay.
I don't like your enthusiasm, Gino.
I like whatever you're going to say now.
I've always wanted to say that. I hear that. That's the best commercial you guys got. I love it. Wiggins! Anyway.
Is that what you called?
Hey, have a great one.
Call is, I'm scared about, you know, we talked about the $1.4 billion they leached off of FEMA, from FEMA, for, you know, for the illegal aliens. And now we don't have enough money in FEMA to pay for this giant problem we have in the Southeast. And they're doing the same thing with Social Security. They're leeching off funds for Social Security to pay for Medicare for these illegal aliens. And we don't even have enough money to be at Social Security for the next 10 years. Nobody's talking about that. And that's even a bigger problem than the FEMA. I mean, why hasn't anybody asked the president or something? Oh, and last thing, I would rather listen to 10 minutes of static than listen to that president talk. He's horrible.
We feel
Thank
it.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Gino. Thank you for calling in. There's a moral obligation for my profession, in my opinion, to let the president speak on these airwaves and speak for himself. Because Lord knows that in an event that something like that happens, clips are going to be pulled and we would pull the clips and play them to react to them because it is news. But the context of it, the whole thing, I think is important.
It's also just very rare. You know, it's not happening very often. So the fact that he was willing to speak and take questions, I mean, that's even more rare. You almost have to air it.
Yeah, I think so. Let's see here. Well, real quick here. John, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think?
Well, hi. I'm at CNN, NPR, CBS, Postal 13. They have screen lights for walls.
Hey, John, it's hard to understand you. Do you have us on speakerphone?
No. Okay, how's this?
That's better. Yeah, that's better.
Okay, I got the phone better in my mouth. These three news organizations, CNN, NPR, CBS, they have three lies that Walsh told. I don't want to give the detail, but they're all spelled out. And 13 lies that Vance told on almost every subject he talked about.
You want to get into details on those?
Yeah. Okay. Abortion ban. That was a lie. U.S. energy production, he lied. Yeah. The cost of drugs. Peaceful transition of president. He refused to answer about climate, about, I'll get it right here, climate change as being a hoax or not. That's not a lie. That's not an answer. He said there's $100 billion was sent to Iran. That money's still frozen and never was unfrozen. The jobs immigration, the immigration hurting the job? No, it has helped our job.
John, are you
I'm just going on the list.
Well, you wanted to skip over the Walls lie, so I just want to ask you,
I don't want to.
You just said you did.
Trump paying taxes.
Walls lied about that?
Yeah, about okay. Trump. He said he didn't pay taxes, and Trump did pay taxes. Yeah. He lied about an abortion registry, which is not in 2025. There's an allusion to something similar, but not a registry at all. And he apologized for lying about being in Tiananmen Square. And I'm almost done. Vance lied about Obamacare. Fentanyl, which is not by people on foot. That's 0.02%. It's 90% of you.
Where's the article that you're reading from, John?
I read all sorts of articles.
John, let's have a conversation here. It's okay.
What 90%.
John, I'm asking you a question. Just listen to me for a second. This isn't hostile. Just asking you a question. Where is your source that you're reading right now? Did you put this together yourself, or are you reading from an article?
NPR and CBS and CNN fact checkers. Okay, now, for this year, I'll be done now. This is a big one.
It's a big one. This is the big one.
Fentanyl crossing.
Yeah.
This is multiple articles. All the Brookings Institute, all sorts of things. And the Congress itself in hearings. Over 89% of fentanyl is brought in over legal ports of entry by United States citizens. It's over and over for 3 years on the internet in two different. I watched the whole fentanyl crisis border crisis hearings. United States citizens bring this in because it's the easiest way to get it in with trucks and cars. The estimates are 0.02%.
Just to be clear, because I want to go read this article that you're reading right now. Is it one article, or are you pulling things together?
I read CNN's fact-checking, NPR's fact-checking, CBS's fact-checking.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Okay, I get it. You're making the point that Vance lied more than Walls, right?
Yeah, a lot more. Just like Trump lies 33 times than the other one.
Okay, so you're here talking. I'm giving you lots of time.
Thank you.
Are you hanging up? Don't hang up. I wasn't done.
I said thank you. Okay. You are. Thank you. I'm waiting.
So Harris and Walls, they got your vote, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because I don't trust Trump. He's been convicted of sexual abuse. He's been held. He has been held sexual abuse. Yes, it was abuse. They called it. Okay, in a civil trial with a jury.
There's a difference between the word conviction and if we want to do fact checking, then we should be accurate.
He's been found liable,
and it's being appealed.
Liable. Okay. And he went to a judge to see what the judge said. The judge looked at it and looked at the military definition.
Okay, John, so let me ask you this question. So you're saying, John, hold on a second. John, just a second. You are saying that when I ask you why you're supporting Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, you are the thing that matters the most to you about the future of the country is that in a civil trial, not in a criminal trial, in a civil trial, Donald Trump was held liable in a very biased jurisdiction that is being completely and totally appealed. We'll see what happens on appeal. My turn. The reason why you're voting for Kamala, turn him down just so I can finish my thought, Brad. The reason why you're going to vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz is because in a civil trial, in a court case that is from decades ago, that Donald Trump has been civilly held liable in a biased jurisdiction, that is the most important thing to you about the future of the country, John.
Okay, no, that's one of the reasons. I was starting to tell you the reasons.
It's the first one you said.
33,000 lies, according to multiple reports over the past several years when he was president.
All right, John, let's do this. Let's do this. I understand that you despise Donald Trump. I respect completely your First Amendment right and your own perspective to have that opinion about Donald Trump. Why Kamala Harris?
26 accusations.
Why Kamala Harris? Why Kamala Harris?
Because she don't have these things against her, and I trust her more. And she's a better speaker. She has more complete sentences. And you guys say she don't, but she does. I've calculated the sentences, who has more complete sentences between the two.
You've calculated that?
Yes. I did it on different, because when people say they can't complete a sentence, I go and count them. So anyway, I want to get to one more thing.
Not about Trump. 26. You're not allowed to talk about Trump anymore. Yeah. Listen. You can tell me. I have till 3 o'clock.
Don't do it.
Turn him down. Because I don't want him to blow this. Wiggins, tell me if you think this is fair. John, hold on. You're on the air still. Brad's just got you turned down. I'm going to let him stay on the air while he talks positively about Kamala Harris, but I have to hang up on him the next time he says something about Trump.
Okay.
Does that sound fair?
And since this is positive, I'll pull up the positive music.
Do you have it?
Yeah, I've got
it.
And
then you got the buzzer. Because as soon as John says something negative about the opponent, we're going to go back to this. Okay. John, you still there with us?
Yes.
Okay. This is your opportunity to advocate to the listeners of the Annie Fry Show and 97.1 FM Talk the attributes about Kamala Harris and Tim Walz that have earned your vote this November 2024.
She's for abortion, and I'm against abortion. I'm right wing on abortion. But she's for it in cases of life of the mother, health of the mother, and I think Trump is too. And
is that it?
Also, no, wait, I thought I get more. You said more.
You can't say anything negative about Trump.
That wasn't. I said he's for the same thing.
He's for
the same thing. I'm
Man,
glad
I had my finger
is.
On the button.
I don't like you playing the music because I think you're making fun of me. And that's exactly what you're doing.
No, we did this. We did this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we did a whole segment.
There's a whole segment.
And everybody called
it
in.
It's all positive.
Yes.
Well, I believe what you're saying just now. So you did it with others, okay? But I think you're making fun of people.
I'm telling you that you need to talk positively about Kamala and sell to the listeners of this show happy reasons why people should vote for Kamala Harris. And we did this for an entire segment with this music and the buzzer.
Here's something. I won't mention another guy. She hasn't sold a whole bunch of items to try to get money to raise for
That's
her.
That's the other guy. Get him out of here. Come on.
She hasn't done this.
The other guy.
I tell you what.
The OTG.
And if that's the reason to vote for Kamala Harris is that she hasn't sold Trump coins.
Good for John, because he gets to cast his vote that way.
Yeah. But I don't know that he convinced me.
I don't know whether he was trying.
I think he was trying.
Yeah.
I think he was trying.
Yeah. I'm happy to take people. We literally went and did a whole segment of this, and it was great fun, and everybody had great fun doing it for both Trump, and we had, I don't know if we ever ended up having anyone who wanted to say positive things about Kamala Harris. But I don't think it's possible to sell Kamala Harris as a candidate without talking about Trump, which is fine. There's a ton of people just like John who are going to vote for Kamala Harris because of Donald Trump. But that's my point.
Yes.
That's what she has to offer. She is a living, breathing non-Trump.
Yes. And that's it. And that over and over. I mean, we referenced the segment where we did this for, I think we actually did it for almost the better part of an hour because we did two segments.
Yeah, it was quite a bit.
And we said, please, anybody who wants to come on and sell us on Kamala Harris and we'll prioritize your call.
And the interesting thing is, when we open our phones on Fridays, we always get pro-Kamala people. Always. Uh-huh. Anti-Trump people.
They're anti-Trump people.
We didn't get any that day.
Mm-mm.
We couldn't find anybody willing to tell us the positives about Kamala Harris.
All right. We got to take a quick break. We're way past time. John, thank you for the phone call. Thank you for listening. It's okay. If the only reason that you want to vote for Kamala Harris is because she's not Trump, lots of people are joining you with that. I don't happen to be one of them, but we know that we got folks out there that are listening that are like that. John, appreciate your phone call and everyone else who reached out to us. Quick break. When we come back, we'll start a little next question. You got questions for us? Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go vote. We'll be right back.
Good times never seem so
this is
good.
The Annie Fry Show.
I hold on so nervously.
Next question.
Question.
It's a legitimate question.
Next question.
Next question, please.
Next question on the Annie Fry Show.
All right, we're going to start with the YouTube live chat poll. We're getting responses, people leaving the comments there on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, why they come to vote. What scares you the most? It's October, the first Friday in October, and this will come as a shock to everybody, but spiders. I have a massive irrational fear of spiders. I think there's a healthy fear of spiders, and then there's what I have, which is no. Like the blowtorch memes, that's me. Brad?
Mine is heights. I get physical reactions to being heights. And somebody said in their chat that they were afraid of, like, they used to skydive, but anything like 500 feet or less really gets them. I'm not going to put a number on it, but I understand what they're saying. Like, the idea of jumping out of a plane doesn't feel the same as, like, standing on top of a very tall building or anything like that. So it gives me the shakes, the cold sweats, my palms. Yeah, I can't
palms
do it.
Palms sweaty?
Yep. Knees weak.
What are you afraid of, Ryan?
Since I'm other on here, it could be a lot of things. Being put on the spot is one.
That is not true. It's what you live for.
I would say, and this is hard to put into a poll, that when things just are out of control, like when I can't figure out how to solve something, that drives me crazy. So I would put that in the category of the things I fear or loathe most.
Well, Ethan added in snakes. So we've got spiders, heights, snakes, and other. And we want to know what you think by going to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and voting. And we'll get your thoughts on that in the 2:45 segment. Next question, Ryan.
Next question is from me. What is the oddest or most specific thing you'd have in your dream house if you could build a dream house?
You are not it.
Really? That is so kind of you.
The oddest. No.
I mean, I would just stand in the pantry, I guess.
Yeah, by the food.
Hello again there.
What is
are
the
you
most?
Looking for the oats?
I'm asking you to go first while I refine my thoughts.
Okay. For me, it's probably and we're talking dream house stuff here. We're talking a big, big bathroom with like a giant jetted heated tub in it. One that...
A bedroom with a heated tub?
Did I say bedroom?
I don't know.
I think I said bathroom.
I was half listening.
A bathroom
with a heated tub.
With a heated tub.
What is a heated tub?
Where it keeps the water hot. So you don't run the bath and then it kind of cools off.
Is it a hot tub?
Jetted.
Or a heated tub?
I think it's more of a heated tub. I don't think it's a hot tub. But I would accept a hot tub if I could fit a hot tub into a bathroom.
Brad?
That's mine.
What was the question? I was doing some producer stuff.
What's the oddest or most specific thing you'd have in your dream home?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think that it would be a computer monitor that takes up a full wall for gaming with a nice surround sound system.
Full wall, like it is the wall.
It is the wall. Maybe even like to the point where it's like 3D where you're like, you sit inside of it. So it looks like
around a little bit.
Yeah, like the game's going on. Yeah, that sort of thing.
My husband and I are looking at building a house right now, and we've spent a lot of time looking at house plans and stuff. And the thing that we're trying to do is build the smallest house that will service our needs until we're dead.
High ceilings.
High ceilings is good. But the one thing that I think I would like in the basement, I don't need a bar in the basement. Like, I don't need all that. But we want a movie theater.
That would be cool.
And the movie theater doubles as watching sports. So, and video games if you want to do that too. But that would be ancillary. But taking this space that you normally have where people can, like, spread out and move around and making that space. It's... You can spend a bazillion dollars on it, but you can also do it for what isn't outrageous. And so, like, we're thinking smaller house, but all the things
all
that
the things
we would
in
like,
the house.
If not the space to do that eventually.
That's a pretty cool one.
Yeah. So, but would like it, surround sound, lights.
Yeah.
Popcorn machine.
Would you have like movie posters in the room and make it feel like a movie theater?
Yeah, maybe.
Because that's always
like that.
Cool.
But like really classy, really nice, super dark, so that you can experience a movie the way it's made to feel in a theater, but in your pajamas at home. And also big games, because we watch a ton of sports.
That's been one of the best things about going to see movies lately.
Oh, debates.
Is that you're captive to watching it.
Yeah.
You're not doing other things.
Yeah, exactly.
Another question? Next question?
Not another question. Dang it.
Oh, man, I totally
worked so hard
that.
On this.
I did. Sure, I'll ask one. What's the worst haircut you've ever had?
Okay. 1995, I was going along with the crowd and got a short haircut, and it was permed, so it's curly.
Ooh.
And it doesn't, it looked cute on 1995, Annie, but, like, not doing that again.
Man, I got a haircut one time, and it was a lady who had never cut a guy's hair before. And I found out after the fact that you don't necessarily learn how to cut guys' hair in school. So she cut my hair, and my hair was still wet when I went out, and I got home, and as my hair dried, she cut one way, like front to back, but she didn't go across. And when I took my hat off when I got home, I had lines, like somebody had draw a line. And I had a softball game, and the place closed before I realized what had gone on. And I had to go the whole day with that.
You?
1995, skater cut.
Yeah.
Shaved underneath. I looked pretty stupid.
Next question is mine. Should there be any parameters on how scary you decorate for Halloween?
Yes, absolutely. Consider the kids are going to see that.
Yeah.
Little bitty kids.
I don't take my littles into Home Depot in October
or either.
September.
Well, they're getting old enough now that they probably could handle
it. I wouldn't take my youngest two in there.
Yeah.
My 7-year-old still is going to have a tough time doing it. My 10-year-olds are getting past it.
What if your neighbor puts up, like, the murder scene that looks like an actual murder scene from hell?
Oh, there's a place in Edwardsville we drive by because we have to on the way to soccer that has got two skeletons, like, murdering somebody, yeah. And then, like, has them on a leash.
It's not like it's not Halloween. It's horror.
Yes.
Yeah.
My 10-year-old's like, eh.
Should there be city ordinances, village ordinances on the level of fright that you can inject into your yard?
That's tough. Maybe First Amendment stuff.
I think there's decency ordinances, and I think if you got...
I know you can't put a 4x4 Donald Trump sign up in your front yard. Too scary for the liberals.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there should be a limit on gore.
I have a thought. Any lawyers that are listening to the show who want to weigh in on this, please let me know. What if I get one of those 12-foot skeletons from Home Depot and I have it holding up the Trump sign? And it's a Halloween decoration. And it's a 4x4 sign.
What if the Trump sign is in two parts and it's just barely the middle?
I've thought about it all. Like I thought I can dissect that thing into four parts,
yeah,
and like separate it and then put like some spiders on it and be like, it's Halloween,
it's
bro.
It's just Halloween. Can I ask one
big
more?
Big 12-foot skeleton, sign up in the air, Trump Vance, MAGA hat. Anyway.
This is from a listener.
Yeah.
What is the current YouTube subscriber count at?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked, Balls. That's, who's at? 9,288. We need 12 people to hit the next 100 to get to 9,300 on our march to get to 10,000.
Thank you, Balls.
I think we have a few other questions that we might get to in the next hour. We've got Window World coming in for X's and O's. Did you put together X's and O's, Ryan?
I did. Oh, wait. What? No, yeah. Yeah, I did.
I haven't done it in a while, and we love it when Window World comes in to play X's and O's with us. So that will be in the first segment of the next hour. Stick around, play along with us. And if you got some more questions, ship them our way. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.
O'Reilly.